You're listening to the Section 5 Podcast.
Welcome back to the Section 5 Podcast. We're here after a little bit of a break, so we got a lot of things to dive into, but we're going to pick up and just start talking about some of the recent pieces with the Celtics and what's been going on with the team and some emergences and also some struggles that they've had recently. This is Mark here leading the way, I guess you can say, on the in the big boy chair. G is going to be off of this show, but he'll be back next time. I'm also here with Trey and Adam, so the usual group, 3 out of 4. 3 out of 4 ain't bad. If the Celtics could get 3 out of 4, I think we'd be looking really good and we'd feel a hell of a lot better. But before we get into the recent struggles, one thing that we want to talk about is just the emergence of Tatum and Brown, especially Jaylen Brown, in my opinion. Jaylen Brown has really taken that step, like we all talked about in the preview shows and the shows earlier in the season. Jaylen Brown, in my mind, has become a superstar, at least on the court. He doesn't have like the celebrity status that comes with superstar yet that you see in this league a lot, but he is playing like a star. And then there's also Jason Tatum, who did a lot of that last year. We've seen some of it this year. And of course, he was derailed a little bit by COVID and is still feeling the effects of that a little bit. So when you look at just his game log, like his games are kind of up and down. But overall, there's a lot more good than bad with Tatum as well. So, Trey, I think we'll throw it off to you. What are your thoughts on what we've seen from JT and JB early in this season?
So just like you said, Jaylen has been really great to watch this season. I think a lot of fans, including myself, saw it coming. For a while, we all knew that he was capable of it. He just had a bunch of guys in front of him. So he's always played a solid role. He always does the little things. He cuts to the basket. So to see him averaging 25, 26 points, steal a game, he's getting his assists up. He's averaging 3.6 assists a game. So when we win, a lot of times it seems like the Jays are making plays. And that's why he's averaging about 4 assists, close to 6 rebounds a game. And most importantly, he's shooting 50% from the field on the season and 40% from 3. And it feels that way. And then again, when he drives to the hoop, he does this thing where he always keeps a defender on his hip. He knows where the defender is. And then he pulls up. He's been getting to his spots. And then driving the lane, kicking it out to the open man, finding Semi Ojeleye for some corner threes, him and Tatum, just trying to trust in their teammates. So I see what they're trying to do. And then Tatum is basically doing the same, averaging 26 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists. I like to see him with the ball in his hands. I like to see him play like a point forward role. I think that's best for the team.
Yeah, and on Jaylen, we talked early in the season and even in the preseason and in camp about the loss of Gordon Hayward and who was going to pick up the slack there, who was going to get those extra points, who's going to get those extra shots. And Jaylen is one of the big beneficiaries of that. He's averaging career highs in field goal attempts. He's tied right now for his career high in three-point attempts. He's well above his career high in two-point attempts. He's averaging 13.6 two-point attempts per game, and that's up from 9.6 last year, which was his previous high. So that's a pretty significant increase in shots. And he's also shooting at his highest percentage across the board this season. So not only is he getting more volume, he's hitting his shots more, and he's converting when he gets to the bucket more. I expected Jaylen Brown to really take that next step. I'm not sure that I expected this. Like you said, he's averaging 26 points a game. I don't know if I had him as necessarily a 26 point per game guy right now, but he is just a really well-rounded player as well. He's responsible on the defensive end. He plays hard every night, which we're going to talk about a little later with some of these other guys on the team. And he's just an efficient player and seems to always make the right decision out there. In my opinion, he's been their best player this year. He's been better than Tatum. Not a knock on Tatum, but I think Jaylen's been the guy on the Celtics this year. Adam, what do you think about our two guys, JB and JT?
I think you guys, you know, hit the nail right on the head with that. They're both playing at an all NBA level. And I'd say right now that they would be both at the minimum on at least the first or second team all NBA. Maybe not first, but I could see both of them probably getting on the second team. I think they've been that good for us. Now, the record hasn't shown how good they've been because, you know, we need parts around them as well, but they're ready for that increased usage that came with it, this year. And Jaylen's just shown since the bubble, Jaylen's shown that, you know, he's ready to take on that extra role here more so than now with Hayward gone. And, you know, us kind of babying Kemba a little bit right now gives Jaylen that slack that, you know, only Tatum really had last year. And Jaylen's just been, man, his handle's gotten better. His shots gotten better. His free throws have gotten better. His basketball IQ has gotten better. Just, we're seeing a complete player right now. And I agree with you, Mark. I think Jaylen Brown's been the best player on the Celtics so far this year.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you mentioned the free throws too, because that's something that was a little bit of a concern early in his career. He wasn't an atrocious free throw shooter, but he was hovering around that 65% range for the first 3 years in the league.
Yeah, and that could cause a guy to not even want to go to the rim because he already has that mental block in his head.
Yeah, and you can see the change too, because he's getting more attempts per game in the last couple of years, and he's up to a career high of 4.8 per game this year. He's shooting 76% from the line, almost 77, and he's a career 69% free throw shooter. So he's really improved his game in that area. And I mean, free throw improvement, it happens to quite a few guys throughout the course of their careers. And there's only one way that you can improve at the free throws, and that's just by putting in the time in the gym. Like, you got to work your ass off to improve your free throws, especially when you get to this level of play in the league. And Jaylen's done that. He's put in the work, and he's seeing the benefits of it, and the team's seeing the benefits of it.
Yeah, I remember watching Jaylen Brown highlights from high school, and you'd see, you know, he moves very quick side to side, gets in the driving lanes. He's quick in transition. He's always had these traits with his game, but it's just that he's putting it together and he looks better doing it. He doesn't look like, you know, a deer in headlights at any point. You know, he looks like he knows what he's doing out there. So, you know, over the years, it's gotten better and better. Last year, he averaged 20 points. And this year, he's just getting the usage without Hayward around. And to start the season, Kemba was gone. So he just had the usage all throughout this year to just go out there and be the all-star that we know he could be.
Right. And
at the same time, he's only 24 years old.
Yeah. That was going to be my next point. Like, this is more so Adam and I than Trey, but when we were growing up, we remember guys coming in and into the league and immediately making an impact. There were, you know, it seemed like a lot more rookies who were good right away because they were staying in school longer. Guys were staying in school, you know, 3 years, 4 years. If Jaylen stayed in college for all 4 years, this would be his second year in the NBA. So that's how young this guy is. You know, Tim Duncan played all 4 years in college, obviously a different generation long, long ago. And most good NBA players don't stay that long. I mean, Buddy Hield, I think, is a recent exception, but he's very early in his career still, despite being in his fifth season. And he has changed from that raw talent that we knew he was coming out of college, out of Cal. And he was a player who we knew was explosive. We knew was something that the Celtics just didn't have. But there were also criticisms with his game too. He was raw as hell. He wasn't really a very good shooter coming out, or it didn't seem like he was. And he's just gotten progressively better at shooting the ball, which you absolutely have to do in today's game. And but Adam, you had mentioned something earlier that want to jump into in transition. So I'm just going to hijack that thought and move into our next piece. The Celtics right now are sitting at 15-14. We're recording this on Friday night. So they have just a couple of hours ago blew the doors off the Atlanta Hawks to avenge probably a pretty bad loss, I think we could say, a couple of nights before. So they're sitting right around that 500 mark. Are we concerned? Adam, let's start with you this time. Are you concerned about the team?
I am not concerned.
I knew it.
Only because, you know, our core five of Kemba, Smart, Tatum, Brown, and Tice has only played 26 minutes together for the whole entire season. Now, it feels like since Gordon Hayward broke his leg, and we've been saying, wow, I can't wait till this team gets healthy. They're going to be the best team ever if this team gets healthy. But I still think that, you know, this team has it, has the core pieces to get it done. I'm just worried about, you know, we need that surrounding talent to play more consistently on a nightly basis. Like, especially the vets that we signed, like Tristan Thompson, if he plays like he did tonight, you know, kind of on that just bully ball level, like that's what we need from him. We don't need him to do what he doesn't, can't do, which is like create a shot on his own or anything. We just need him to do the dirty work every single possession. And the one worry I feel like is, you know, backup point guard is kind of an issue right now, but I still feel like, you know, in the playoffs, you're not relying on your backup point guard for too much. You're going to be relying on your big horses for 40 minutes a game. And with that being said, I think that, you know, the five that we have that we're going to roll out there is enough. It's just, they need to be out there. That's it.
See, I don't know if I'm necessarily concerned. You're not going to like why I'm not concerned, Adam. I'm not concerned because I thought it at the beginning of the season. I still think it now. They're not contenders this year. Like, to me, worry is being afraid something bad will happen, right? I'm not expecting them to win a title. I'm not expecting them to get to the finals. This might be a Boston curse word. It's a Briggs year, right? And I feel that way. I felt that way coming into the season. Go back and listen to our season preview. Why the hell would you do that? The season has already started, but hey, it's there. I wasn't as high on this team as the rest of you guys were. And I'm kind of seeing a lot of what I was expecting. I don't know if we necessarily got there the same way that I was expecting to, but they're solid. They're an okay team. They're fine. Like, they don't suck. They're, you know, they're what, 2-8 in their last 10 after tonight. They're not that bad, but they won a bunch of games at the beginning of the season. I think they might've started 8-3. They're not that good either. They're just kind of there this year. They're a team that might give you a little bit of a tough out if you're a true contender in the playoffs, but in the end, I just don't think they have the horses. We talked about it earlier. We love their top two guys. Their top two guys are great, but Washington had a great top two guys a couple of years ago, and they didn't do a damn thing. I feel like we're kind of in that realm where we're rolling out guys like Grant Williams and, you know, Carson Edwards has got some run, a little earlier. Kemba's knee is, who knows, right? He's played well the last couple of games. He had some bad games when he first came back, and we don't know how healthy he's going to be down the stretch. This team's margin of error is so razor thin that if someone has a small injury, they roll an ankle in a playoff game and they have to miss two games, like, this team is screwed because right now they don't have the depth. It doesn't mean that they can't fix it, because they are, I think, close enough, especially in a year where it's kind of open, although Brooklyn maybe gives you an argument there if that works out. They're kind of loaded, but they have enough in place where if you can add a piece, maybe now we're talking. So I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence. I don't think they suck. I don't think they're that good, and it just kind of is what it is, and it's still an ongoing process. Trey, what about you? Are you worried?
So, like, I'm kind of on the fence as well. My main cause for concern is just health. It just feels like we're never healthy. It's like the curse of the Celtics. But if we can at least get the team to be healthy, then we can figure out what's more of a need. I think Danny Ainge was on the radio.
Yeah, it was recently on Toucher and Rich. He's with them every week. I haven't listened to local Boston radio in years, but I know he's on with them, I think, weekly.
Yep. So he was on there, and he just mentioned, you know, when the team's not healthy and you're looking to add pieces, and then, you know, your team gets healthy, then you're going to have excess pieces. You know, I agree with that. The fact that the team is not healthy, you know, no Romeo Langford. Kemba's been out at points.
Tatum's been out.
Yeah, Tatum being out with COVID. There's just been stretches where the team isn't able to all come together and play to its full potential. So, you know, evaluating the team as far as what you need going forward, if you're the GM, I mean, it's a little more difficult. You know what you think you have, but they haven't been able to all go out and show it. So there's a minor cause for concern. I do like what I see, you know, in games like against Denver, when we came out and played, and then against the Hawks, where we came out and did well as well. But then there's games like
the first Hawks game.
Yeah, exactly. Where you don't see the same exact effort. And it's like, I wouldn't say that they're not playing with effort. Just maybe it's just not the same execution. It's not the same. It's not the same execution on offense or defense.
I think it's a little of both. I think the Denver game and then the first Hawks game were the two most predictable outcomes of this Celtics season. You knew they were getting absolutely hammered because they were sleepwalking through the Wizards game last week. Right? I think it was Sunday. And they got blown away by a very, very bad team. And they were getting hammered for it on you know, social media, on the radio, written stuff, wherever. If there was a spot to hammer the Celtics, they were getting hit. Then they come out and they play their asses off against Denver. And they beat a really good team. And it's just kind of been what this team does. Like they sleepwalk through some games. Sometimes they just don't show up. And then when people start talking shit about them, they're like, oh yeah, well, we're the big mighty Celtics. And they go out and they fucking beat Denver or they beat the Lakers. Right. And then after that, you're like, they're going to win this game. I think I tweeted this out at like halftime of the Denver game. Like they're going to win this game and they're going to lose to the Hawks. Like, clear as day, it's what this team does. They're gonna go in there with their, you know, with their heads blown up, and they're gonna, or they're gonna go in missing a guy, and they're gonna have an excuse, and they're just going to lose that Hawks game after beating Denver. And it's just, it speaks to the consistency of this team. They're just not consistent.
The one other thing that makes me not very concerned is just the fact that the East, in particular, right now we're 15-4. The Pacers are 15-4. I'm sorry. Right now we're 15-14. It'd be great if we were 15-4.
Right.
We could start this thing
games
over
in hand, bit. Baby.
You know, but the Pacers are 15-14 as well. Then you have the Toronto Raptors at 14-15. You have the Knicks at 14-16. Charlotte. So it's kind of close after that. You got Chicago, Miami, Atlanta, and Orlando all with 12 wins. So there's not that much of a difference between, you know, the fourth seed and the 12th, you know, 12th spot.
Right. And that could be, you know, a cause for optimism. It could also be a cause for concern, because if something happens and like Jaylen Brown's out for 2 weeks, they could dig themselves a hole. And they could be looking at maybe playing in like one of those playing games, which you really don't want. And I think they're better than that. Like, you see the teams that are right on that borderline, like they should be better than those teams. But you know, the season's a little shorter this year. Celtics have had some bad luck the last couple of years. You know, they could be looking at a really tough matchup in the playoffs, or could be looking at getting into, you know, one of those playing games, which I don't expect. I think that they're probably, you know, realistically right around that 4-5 area, maybe 6, but something I think needs to change if we want to see them make a run like we have over the last couple of years, because I think Philly's really good. I don't think that they're a fluke at all. Brooklyn, we know how much firepower they have. Milwaukee's been doing it for a few years. Milwaukee's a strong team. They haven't won as many games this year as they have in, you know, years past, but they're still, you know, I think right now they're still better than the Celtics. So the question that I have for you guys is, what do they need to do? What do they need to do for the rest of this season? Is there anything they need to do? Do they stay the course and just kind of take the hit on the year and kind of count it as a lost year, or do you make a run at it? Trey, what do you think they need to do?
So I think all options are on the table, as cliche as it sounds. I mean, I know one name that's always thrown out there is Nikola Vucevic. Would always depend on the price. Anything Danny Ainge is going to do is going to depend on the price. If it's a reasonable price, then he'll probably go for it. If not, he's not going to outbid or do anything ridiculous. So, you know, it could be something like that. It could be something like adding a piece or two, you know, splitting the TPE, the Hayward TPE that's worth $28.5 million. I guess he could save it until the offseason. I don't think that he's going to do that, but, you know, I don't know.
I think that the only reason you would do that is if the market's just not there, or if you don't think there's a piece that can put you over the top this year, and you look at a sign and trade possibility to maybe slip someone in there.
Correct.
Like we've heard John Collins' name come up a lot for Celtics rumors. Like he's rumored to be on the block, and the Celtics are rumored to be involved in like every trade rumor of all time. So if they think that he is that missing piece and they want him long-term, they could maybe try to wait until the offseason, see if they can get him on a sign and trade and fit him into that exception. Like a player like that, they may see the benefit of doing that instead of going for like Harrison Barnes, who is a fantastic player, but I don't think puts him over the top.
The one thing that sucks about the TP in the offseason and sign and trades is that it would hard cap us for making moves the next year. So you'd have to be pretty sure at the move that you're making. So I pretty much, you know, everyone would prefer to get John Collins here right now so you can have him here and then be able to pay him.
Try it out, see if it works. Cause like I'm the biggest Collins guy there is outside of Atlanta. Like I think that it is absolutely going to work if he comes here or wherever he goes. But we've seen really good players go to good teams and it just doesn't work. So it gives you that that trial period where you're not married to the guy. And if it doesn't work, you can work your own sign and trade, or you can tender them and see if you get some compensation back somehow or whatever you want to do. So Adam, what do you think the Celtics need to do?
Yeah, well, I still think that there isn't a team in the NBA that could beat this Celtics team in the 7-game series.
Except for all the ones that have the last 20 years.
I do feel that Nikola Vucevic would be a great addition to this team. While I wouldn't really want to give up any of the core guys to get him and kind of have a deal similar to what the Bucks gave for Jrue Holiday, which is just full of first-round picks and pick swaps, I do feel like, you know, having an elite all-star center on this team will make everyone's job a whole bunch easier on both ends of the court. Just that consistency on a night-to-night basis that, you know, we don't really have without three bigs that we're rotating right now with Tice, Thompson, and Williams, is that we just don't know what we're going to get every night. So it's great to have nights like, you know, they had tonight where they combined for, I think, like 46 points, 20 rebounds. We'd be foolish to be able to count on that on a nightly basis for those guys. We hope it could happen, but we
know from a long experience, whether it's Tristan Thompson or it's Cantor or any other guy who you want to throw in there, one of the Zellers, the bad Zeller, I think. Mm-hmm. You know what you get with your bigs here. Like Tice is solid. I really love him more off the bench than as a starter. And the other guys just, they're inconsistent. They have some things that they're really good at, and they have some things that they just don't do.
Yeah, and I think Vucevic kind of brings everything to the table as a center. Is that he's a good shooter. He's a decent defender. He could protect the rim somewhat. He gets rebounds. He's a double-double guy. He gets you at least 20 a game if you get him the touches and shots. Like, gets to the line. Just like a solid NBA player that we need that. You know, while I think we're still a really good team right now, he will make us, and that would, I think, you know, have people talking about us with the Brooklyns, with the Milwaukees, like, and really mean it, not just if we're having like a 2-3-game winning streak.
It gives them still less firepower than Brooklyn has, because if Brooklyn's rolling and everything's working with the top three guys that they have, like, the Celtics aren't going to be able to match up with that as much as I love our top two guys. Vucevic is one of the best moves they can make. I'm fully on the John Collins train. Everybody who has ever listened to me knows that. Don't hold tonight against him. It was a bad game. It happens. He was brutal in the first half, by the way. He was absolutely brutal. But they really, I think, need that top echelon big man, whether it's Collins or Vucevic or if someone else who we're not thinking about comes up on the market. I think that's a piece that will help them more than someone like Harrison Barnes would, who again is a player who is going to make your team better, but I don't think he's going to be a player who can make this team good enough to win. Vucevic is, I think, a great blend of that old school and new school center. Like, well, he can shoot, but he's that old school center who can play by the basket, and he can get dirty. He can be physical, but he can play with finesse too. And I know they lost the series actually pretty quickly after winning game one, but he gave Giannis some trouble. And that's something that the Celtics could potentially be looking at, is facing him. And you're going to want someone who can give him trouble when he gets near the basket. So Vucevic would be a great fit for that. And that, in that sense, Vucevic would be better than Collins. So that's where I want them to go. I'm going to throw something out here that Adam's going to be really surprised by. On the buyout market only, I don't want to trade for this guy. But if Andre Drummond gets bought out, I'm interested. I'm not saying they necessarily have to do it, but if you get him on the buyout, you get him on the cheap, he can come in, he can be a bench guy. He can come in 10, 15 minutes. Maybe he can score a little bit. We know he can score a little bit. He still kills you with his free throws. I don't want him playing 30 minutes a night, but I think he's a guy who can come in and help them. And they need to fix this bench.
Yeah, Drummond could definitely get some offensive boards, a few extra possessions.
That's the thing. Like, I think there's value there. And I think the market has kind of overcorrected, where, like, we know that getting 20 rebounds is, like, it's nice in fantasy basketball, but it doesn't necessarily change the game. But there is value in getting the ball for your team. And Drummond will be able to do that. So, again, I'm not one of these jackasses on 98.5 who's saying, sell the entire farm to get, Andre Drummond. I just think that he, at this point in his career, and with the way that the game has changed especially the last couple of years even, that he's someone who can help them. And he's not going to be the only piece, but he's a piece who can make him a little better. But I'm open to all possibilities. I just don't think that they're going to be able to put the pieces together to be a legitimate championship contender this year. So I'm not going to go nuts no matter what happens, I don't think.
Yeah, with Vucevic, you have to send out at least $7 million. So at minimum, the Celtics have to send out $7 million. And then, like Adam was saying, picks,
he's going to cost a lot.
So it's either do they want a combination of both? Do they want, young players like Romeo Langford, Aaron Nesmith? Do you prefer multiple first-round picks?
I think you're going to prefer multiple first-round picks to Romeo Langford anyway. We've seen a little bit of Nesmith. Nesmith has been fantastic the last couple of games, and he works his ass off whenever he gets in the game. He's a menace on the offensive boards, which I really didn't expect to see from him, but he is a pain in the ass every time he has a chance to get that ball, and he goes for it, and he got dinged up a little bit tonight, so hopefully that's not serious. He's a guy I'd like to hold on to, but if that's the piece that gets you Collins, Vucevic, whoever, then I think reluctantly you got to do it, because you got to give up something to get something.
I think we'd be saying the same about Romeo if he'd be playing right now.
I like Romeo, I do, but he looks like a defensive stopper. He hasn't shown much on the offensive end, and I still have concerns about their scoring drought. So if I had to choose one, I'd rather keep Nesmith than Romeo. But that brings up the question: who's gonna go? Is there anyone on this team that you're thinking of and you're like, if we just got rid of him, we'd be so much better? Like the Hawks with Gallinari, or any team that's ever had Gallinari, when you look at the teams that he's left, they've immediately got better. Adam, who is our Gallinari?
Jeff fucking Teague. He's wasting a roster spot. He has the yips because he can't make a freaking layup over anybody. And he just aimlessly drives to the hoop and just stops 5 feet before he gets to the basket and just picks up his dribble, and then he's just fucked.
Basically. He's trapped. He's either going to turn it over, or he's going to throw up a prayer that's probably not going in.
And on defense, he's just been a turnstile. He can't guard anybody anymore. He's definitely past his prime. before the year, I was kind of hesitant about his pickup as well because, you know, he's just been trashed the last couple of years. Like he puts up okay fantasy numbers if he has like 34, 35 minutes a game, but Justin, he's not giving us what we need at all. Ever since I think the first or second game of the season where he kind of provided us a spark when he was able to get to the rim consistently. But now it's just he's not even, because he's not finishing, he's not even trying to hit a layup. So yeah, then he's not getting to the line and utilizing his 90% free throw percentage.
He's so giving nothing.
He's been a negative when he's been in the game. So right. I think that this team would be a lot better if we either dumped him and picked up some other veteran point guard that may be available from some kind of avenue, whether it's, you know, a trade with one of the smaller, you know, trade exceptions we have, or if anyone just gets bought out. Because, I mean, Jeff Teague is not it.
Yeah, Teague ain't it. I was on board with Teague when he came over. I wasn't expecting him to be the all-star that he was, what is it, 4 or 5 years ago now, that year that the Hawks were really good, but you knew they were frauds and were going to lose in the playoffs. Teague was great at that time. He was good for a couple years after that. We knew he wasn't that guy, but coming in as a backup point guard, playing 10, 15 minutes a night, you know, hopefully mixing in Pritchard, who has been good and has been giving them good minutes. I expected Teague to just be able to facilitate a little bit, score a little bit off the bench, and get the hell out of the game before he hurts him on defense. And he's not doing any of that. So I'm with you. Like, if they can get rid of him, like, even if they don't get anything back, like, clear up the roster spot. I'd say play one of your guys further down the roster, but like, I don't want to see Trey Waters either. So you're kind of stuck there. But
we need smart back, so we don't have to worry about it.
They need to upgrade that roster spot, and with smart back, it can give you the flexibility to maybe get someone who of a different skill set or, you know, different position.
And then you could just have Pritchard as the backup.
I think Pritchard's earned that. And then, you know, break in case of emergency. That's Trey Waters. Trey, seeing you down there shaking your head a couple of times throughout that, what do you got?
So what you kind of said about playmaking ties into what I was going to say. Adam mentioned, you know, maybe adding like another point guard. I think we should have enough if healthy with Kemba, Marcus, Pritchard, and then hopefully point Tatum should be enough. So I would add playmaking, like Mark was kind of just saying. At a different position, you can never have enough playmaking. Anybody who can pass the ball, shoot the three, and dribble the ball. You know, you have to be able to make plays with the ball, make things happen with the ball.
Got to move the ball.
Right. Got to be able to, you know, drive the lane and to be able to kick it out to someone. If you can't, like, you know, take the ball off the dribble, how effective are you going to be? In the last Hawks game, not the one we just won, but the one we lost, I saw Shimmy pump fake the three and drive inside, and he ended up doing like a fadeaway. He missed it, but, you know, that's what I want to see from Shimmy Ojeleye. That's the development I like to see. I think we need more playmakers, whether it's a forward that playmakes, you know, another wing that play makes, or a center like a Vucevic that play makes,
right?
You know, right. But a playmaker at another position that's going to get you some scoring, that's going to help you move the ball and just get into good habits consistently.
Yep. And I agree with all of that. The ball movement's been a huge problem for this team. When they play poorly, it's because the ball just stops. And you know, adding maybe a new piece to that who can help facilitate that could mean a world of difference. I know the question was originally who needs to go. I'm not saying necessarily that he needs to go, but if they make a deal, can we please include Grant Williams? Like, I don't want him on this goddamn team. He's a 6'6 power forward. Like, dude, I'm done. Like, he does some things well sometimes. Like, ooh, he dove on the floor. Ooh, he hit a three. Ooh, he just got bodied by someone who's a foot taller than him because he's playing out of position because he's got the height of Jerry Stackhouse. Like, I just don't need Grant Williams.
Yeah, I had a discussion on it's an app called Locker Room with a Memphis Grizzlies fan who offered to take Grant Williams and, like, a pick for Valanciunas. And I said, dude.
Done
deal.
Yep.
Another thing with Jeff Teague's definitely the player but he makes the veterans minimum, about $2.5 million. So there's a bunch of guys making the vets minimum. Maybe he could be traded for. I wouldn't mind that.
Or you can throw him in to get up to a number. A couple of different things you can do there. And I think we'll keep it short and sweet for this one. And we'll just wrap it up here. We have an off day tomorrow for the Celtics, or probably today by the time this gets posted. And the next game up is against New Orleans on Sunday in the prime slot. What was that, at 3:30, you said, Adam? Yep, that's at 3:30. He's giving me a thumbs up. He's also not on mute, so he could have used words. But what are you going to do?
Let's go C's.
Let's go C's. So hopefully the good win tonight, and then the win against Denver is the start of a little bit of a turnaround. They'll get themselves out of this funk. We'll see next week. We'll also see the Hawks again. So, and that's on the second part of a back-to-back, so that could be potentially a rough one. Fire up the excuse caboose. But if you haven't followed us already, you can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, at Section 5. That's with the number 5 in there. Section, conventional spelling, number 5, IVE. You can also follow each of us individually. I'm at MFury38, MFUERY38. Trey, you keep on changing your damn name. What is yours?
It's C's Banner 18.
All right. Bit of a homer. I like it. It's what we do here. Adam, is yours They Can't Be Beat? 617
Should be, but it's AE Lesko.
I'm sure that's taken. So I talked over you. So AE Lesko 617.
Yes, sir.
All right. All right. So that'll do it for us. As always, please rate, review, subscribe, and give us a follow. And as always, we're always interested in hearing your feedback too. Love us, hate us, indifferent, whatever. We just love to hear from you. We'll answer any questions you have, or take any comments. But until next time, we'll be back soon. We'll talk about some of the upcoming games, and there's definitely going to be some all-star stuff to talk about, some all-star starters and some reserves that are going to be named shortly. So hopefully there'll be some Celtics to talk about there. And I think we're going to do the thing last year that we did last year, when we had our own all-star draft, and in every single metric that we could come up with, mine and Trey's team wiped the floor with G and Adams, whether it was fantasy stats or whether it was a 2K simulation. And 2K simulation was about a 70-point spread, by the way. And there is video of that up on our YouTube page, which is seldom updated, but that's a good video worth checking out. So go ahead and look at that. I think our buddy Bobby was actually working with me on the simulation and the play-by-play for that, which was fun to put together and a lot more work than I expected when I put that highlight reel together, but it was fun. All right. Well, that'll do it for us. And we'll be back soon with a bunch of other Celtics material and also some content on stuff around the league. We'll catch you soon.
See ya.
Later.